Let's commit our hearts to the Lord at this time. Father, we're thankful for the privilege that we have to gather this morning. We're thankful for the privilege that we can know you, our great God. We thank you for the privilege of being able to freely worship you. We thank you for our church family. Thank you for the blessing of having a family, a support system, an encouragement, an outreach of ministry as we seek to minister to the body. A group, a family that we can worship you together with. Lord, as we approach your word this morning, I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding. I pray that you would touch our hearts in such a way that we could be changed as we understand more of these truths, these transforming truths from your word. Father, please, as you move in our hearts, may we have hearts ready to receive. May we be undistracted students of your word. May we grow in our maturity through a deeper understanding of these truths. Help us, Lord, to approach your word with an attitude of obedience, commitment to what you will say, that we are committed to obey. Father, help us now, we pray. Please give me the words to say. Father, may we all worship you through this process, attributing much worth to you. Lord, you are worthy of praise. Father, help us now, I pray. That we would honor you. We would magnify your holy name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4, follow along with me as I read, starting in verse 11. Verse 11, we read, "And he, that is Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom," that is Christ, "the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, we have begun this chapter 4, the second half of the chapter, looking at the walk that we are to have, what our walk should look like, really the behavior of the Christian. We've looked at this command to walk worthy that we see in verse 1. We see our need to walk in unity, verses 2 through 6. We see in verses 7 through 10 our need to walk in diversity. We've all been given, gifted, spiritually gifted in different ways to minister to the body, to use those gifts to edify the body, to advance the cause of Christ. Here in verses 11 through 16, we are looking at our walk in maturity. Having spoken of the church's diversity with individual spiritual gifts, Paul now draws our attention to some specific gifts displayed in the church. God has provided gifted ministers in order to help train his people for gospel ministry through a growing spiritual maturity. And so we looked at verse 11, seeing God's provision of gifted ministers. Each one of these ministers, they've been gifted in such a way with regards to the ministry of the Word of God. Specifically, God has gifted the local body with the pastor-teacher. He's called upon to heed, to lead, and to feed the flock that has been entrusted to his care. This is not an end in itself, but a means to the end of bringing glory to God. to motivate, to encourage each of us to gospel service. We see in verse 12 God's purpose, and that is exactly what these gifted ministers have been given for, is gospel ministry. This is the purpose. We see for the perfecting of the saints, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, and also for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. And so, what we have seen here is this perfecting of the saints is for the process of developing Christ-likeness in the body in order to display Christ-likeness in the work of the gospel ministry. So we asked this question at the end of last Sunday's message. What will be the impact of the body on the body of Christ as we are perfected, as we are equipped for the work of the ministry and the body is edified? What will be the impact? And so there was implication that we gave. What are the implications of this? How are we to be a part of this process? How are we to be used to impact the body of Christ, to edify it, to build it up, to encourage it, to strengthen it, to ultimately glorify God through the process as we are unified? See, the effectiveness of the perfecting of the saints is seen in the reality of their doing the work of the ministry. How effective we are receiving the ministry of the word is revealed in our doing the work of the ministry. If the goal is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, then each of us should be considering how we are responding to the ministry of the word and also what we are doing in ministry work. A couple questions that we asked. How am I responding to the perfecting work of the gifted men that God is using in my life? Am I honoring God with my heart and with my actions in response? How am I receiving the ministry of the word to my heart? Second question was, what am I doing? What am I doing as a result in my response? What am I doing to advance God's kingdom? What am I doing in the disciple-making effort? And so, what we see there is not only we see God's provision of gospel ministers, gifted ministers, but we also see His purpose of gospel ministry. And today we're going to begin looking at God's particulars. What are the particulars with regards to the particulars, how this should look like, what this should look like in daily life? What should it look like? See, if we are being equipped to do the work of the ministry and we are part of the process of edifying the body of Christ, we see that this is a call for us to be walking in maturity, spiritual maturity. So Paul, he lays out these gifted ministers. He tells us what the purpose is, this gospel ministry. What does it look like? It looks like this growing maturity. God's particulars displays a growing maturity. So that's what we're going to be looking at in verses 13 through 16. Today we're going to be looking at verse 13, but let me give you a little bit of an overview of these few verses. See, the perfecting of the saints, again, is the process of developing Christ-likeness in order to display that Christ-likeness as we do the work of gospel ministry. So, I think we all can agree that God desires, as you see in the top of page 2, God desires for His saints to grow in maturity. I think we can agree to that. I think it's pretty obvious. Here in verses 13 through 16, Paul lays out particular marks of this maturity. He describes what it should look like. There's things that we can look for in our own lives with regards to how we are growing in maturity. There's evidences, there's marks that we should look for. Are these being displayed in my life? Because as far as how we ended the last message with regards to ultimately how am I responding and what am I doing, well, now Paul lays out for us what we should be doing and how we should be responding. Paul explains that this spiritual maturity should be seen in a developing Christ-likeness. That's where we see this verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It should be seen in doctrinal constancy, constant stability. That's what we see in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There should be doctrinal stability, constancy. We should be able to be constant in our being moving forward in faith, in our growing maturity. There should be doctrinal constancy, doctrinal stability. But there also should be the display of charity, love. Biblical agapao kind of love. Biblical agape. All right, we see that in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, into him, that is Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But speaking the truth in love, really you could also, some have translated that, but truthing in love. Living a life of love. The message of your life. Displaying charity, the message of our life should be a message of love. We also see this last point, verse 16, will be by a determined community. What do we see in verse 16? From whom, again from Christ, the whole body fitly joined together. Notice how there's unity that we see here. Notice how this body is working together. That's what we're going to see here in this verse. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. It's being fitly joined together. It's being compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint is you and me as members of the body of Christ. How we help supplieth, how we help in the unity and ultimately advancing God's kingdom as we do the work of the ministry. It goes on to say that every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So that's how God is working in each of us to do this work. It makes increase. It grows the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's a loving process. It's love displayed. There's a determined community mindset. We are in this together. All right. So there's a displaying Christ, a developing Christ-likeness. There's doctrinal constancy. There's the display of charity. And there's this determined community. With the next few verses we're going to be looking at, that is where we're going. In each of these verses, we see the impact of the ministry of the Word upon their lives. How does God use His Word to help us be developing Christ-likeness in our lives? How does God, through the ministry of His Word, help us to have doctrinal constancy? How God helps us to be stable spiritually through the ministry of the Word? How does God help us to display charity, speaking the truth in love? The message of our life is a loving message. He uses the ministry of the Word to help us display charity. How does He use the ministry of the Word to help us be this determined community, this body that advances the cause of Christ together? It's all through the ministry of the Word. And so, just looking at verse 13 this morning, this growing maturity is marked by developing Christ-likeness. This growing maturity is marked by developing Christ-likeness. Being more like Jesus. Again, Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul, he starts off this point by speaking about, he uses this phrase, till we all. Who is we all? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of the we. The goal is that all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ achieve this goal that Paul is talking about. Till we all, that's you and me. Every soul in the body of Christ, till or until. This is the goal. This is our gaze is forward. This is what we're reaching forward to the mark, the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, right? There's a goal that we're striving for. It's called, as A.W. Tozer wrote, the pursuit of holiness. Was it A.W. Tozer or Jerry Bridges? Jerry Bridges, I think. But nonetheless, the reality is there's this pursuit of being holy. God says through the pen of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If we are an image bearer of God, we are to bear His image as a representation to the world. He is a holy God. We are to be bearing that holy image to the world. How do we do that? By developing Christ-likeness, by being holy. Holiness, set apart from sin. Now, the idea of it's developing Christ-likeness. Why? Is Christ-likeness fully developed in you? No. One day, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Right? 1 John tells us. But are we there yet? Do you see Him just as He is? Are you standing face to face with Jesus yet? Not yet. So there's this process that we are in. The process of perfection. Understand that. We are positionally made perfect, brought into the family of God. There will be this perfect perfection, the finality of being like Christ. But we're in this process of becoming like Jesus Christ, developing Christ-likeness. This is what we should be striving for. Now, how do you strive to be like Jesus? If you have been in any kind of pursuit in life, if in high school or college you sought to be the greatest soccer player ever, or whatever sport of your choosing, or you pursued a study, you wanted to be the greatest, you wanted to be a proficient doctor or a lawyer or whatever you're striving for, in order to do that, in order to be good at that, in order to be proficient in that, in order to look like that, what'd you have to do? Spend a lot of time in it. Right? Why is it that doctors seem to go to school for half their life before they even step foot in being able to be given the keys to operate on their own? Because there's a lot of tutelage. There's a lot of study. There's a lot of understanding of the body and how it works and the things that I should do and shouldn't do. And there's so many things that go on. If you want to be the best at something, you have to work at it. If we want to be like Jesus, we have to spend a lot of time with Him. Don't we? And that's what we see. There's this goal. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. It's looking forward. There's a point in which we will be like Jesus, but we're in that process of becoming like Him. So therefore, there's this, how's the ministry of the Word working on you to help you become like Him? There's this goal of unity. Notice the unity of the faith. Paul has already challenged us to walk in unity, hasn't he? Verses 2 through 6. Now he reiterates that the development of Christ-likeness it will display a growing unified church. The development of Christ-likeness will display a growing unified church, a growing unified body. Why is that? Remember how we talked about, I gave an illustration with regards to the tuning forks? If you take 100 pianos and you all tune them to the same tuning fork, one tuning fork, and all the pianos are tuned to it, will all those pianos sound, will they be tuned the same? Yes. See, when we all strive after the mindset, having the mind of Christ, will we not all be unified with His mindset? Think of the harmony that would be displayed. So as we're developing Christ-likeness, seeking to be like Jesus, we will be a unified body. That's what we will display. See, there is to be a maturity in our unity. The only way we can be truly unified is we grow in maturity. This unity is marked by a oneness of faith as each of us take on the mind of Christ as we grow in our knowledge of the Son of God. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Romans 15:5, it says, now the God of patience and consolation, that's the God of patience and encouragement, grant you to be like-minded, having the same mind one to another, according to Christ Jesus, having this same mind according to Christ, having the same mind with each other because it's the same mind of Christ. How do you know the mind of Christ unless you spend time with Him? And as you spend time with Him, it's the process the Holy Spirit develops in us Christ-likeness. Notice it says, we not only see that till we all come in the unity of the faith, the same faith, one faith. There's another goal. So this process of unifying us, we're in the process of becoming more and more unified in the same faith as we grow in Christ-likeness. But also we see this other goal. Till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the Son of God. This knowledge is a more complete and precise kind of knowledge. It's a deeper, more intimate knowledge of Christ. It's a transforming truth kind of knowledge. It's a knowledge as you get to know God, as you get to know Jesus Christ, and you get to know this kind of knowledge as you humbly approach Him and learn about Him. It's a truth that transforms. It's a transforming truth. It's a truth that it changes you. Can't help but be changed as you get to know God in this way. This isn't an intellectual knowledge. This is a heart-changing knowledge. As we humbly approach the Word of God, that's why when we come in here every Sunday morning, we seek to pray, Lord, would You open the eyes of my understanding? We want to approach God with a teachable spirit. We want to approach God with humility, saying, Lord, I need to be changed more into the likeness of Your Son. Would You change me? Would You grow me? Would You teach me? Would You show me things about myself that need to be removed? Would You show me things about You, Lord, that will help me to grow and be doctrinally stable as I walk through this life? Would You encourage me the truth of who You are and what I have in You? Would You help me, Father? See, as we grow in this knowledge, it changes us into the likeness of Christ. As you grow and understand more about Jesus with a heart of humility, you can't help but be changed. Notice it says, unto a perfect man. A perfect man. There we see that word perfect. The perfecting of the saint. See, the perfecting of the saint for the work of the ministry. This is a goal. God has given gifted ministers for the perfecting of the saint to do the work of the ministry. Well, this is here till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of God, unto a perfect man. Again, that's the process. That's where we're looking forward. That's the goal. Let's get there. But how do we get there? One day at a time, right? One day at a time, being in the Word of God, being changed by the Word of God. This perfect man. Notice the end result of this process is being a perfect man. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? He says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Well, we will get there, but there's this goal. Set the bar high. If you set the bar pretty low, any old snake can crawl over it, can't they? It doesn't take much if you set a bar really low. Anybody can get over that. And what's the point? set a bar that you can't achieve on your own. And that's what Christ sets the bar as high as Him. It's perfection. But don't let that be a discouragement to you. Say, well, I can't ever reach that. Well, no, you can't. I can't. But God can, and God wants to work through you. Have a humble mindset that says, you know what? God wants me to be like Him. I want to be like Him. And it's a slow process. There's going to be high times. There's going to be low times. There's going to be times where I feel like I'm moving forward. There's going to be times where I'm going to feel like I'm moving back. But the trajectory should be an upward goal, an upward angle. Unto this perfect man. But notice in verse 14 that we'll get to next week, Lord willing, what does it say? It talks about that we henceforth be no more children. See, God wants us to be a perfect man. That perfect man, it speaks of perfect, speaks of full grown in mind and understanding. A child is not full grown in mind and understanding, are they? Is it? See, God wants us to be mature as we walk through this life, as we live through this life, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, a stature measured by Christ's fullness. A stature measured by Christ's fullness. The goal is for each believer to be like Jesus. See, when you, if who are you to compare yourself to? It's easy for us to make horizontal comparisons, right? Isn't it? Oh, I'm doing so much better than that person and that person and this person because I do. Right? What good does that do you? Honestly. What good does it do you when you compare yourself to somebody else? Because it doesn't take much for you to go down the street and say, you know what? I'm far better than that family because I go to church and I do this, 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 and this. And if you struggle finding someone on your street that you're better than, the jail's just down the street and I'm surely not in jail, so therefore I'm really doing pretty good. I'm keeping myself out of jail. Well, if that's the bar that you're setting, that's like, it's pretty low. But ultimately, what good does it do you? There's nothing to strive after because you can always find someone to justify why you don't have to work any harder because they're not as good as you are. It does you no good, does it? It's a lazy man's mentality. Horizontal comparison is always the lazy man's mentality. Always. Because you can always find somebody who you're better than. But when we compare ourselves to Christ, when we compare ourselves to God, that should be motivation to take that next step forward, get in the Word. Take that next step forward, get in the Word. Take that next step forward, be in prayer. Take that next step forward and be kind. Take that next step forward and do ministry, gospel ministry work. So I can compare myself to God. I never arrive. I never arrive. Because even when I get to heaven and I'm made like Jesus, I'm still going to be bowing at His feet and worshiping Him. I'm still going to be elevating Him. And I'm going to be for eternity learning more about my awesome God. See, the measurement is Christ. That's the comparison. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. They may prove what is that good and acceptable word of God. How do we develop Christ-likeness daily? How do we go through this development process? Romans 12:2 is a great place to start off. And we're most all of us are quite familiar with this verse, aren't we? Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. Be transformed is the Greek word. That word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. It's translated transformed. It speaks of a change of place or condition, to change into another form. Paul uses the present tense. He says, continue ultimately to let yourself be transformed. That's the idea. Present tense. Continue to let yourself be transformed. Metamorpho, metamorphosis. Butterfly to a caterpillar, or go the other way, right? Just checking to see if you guys are awake. No. It's the present tense. Continue to be transformed. Paul uses the passive voice. That's something done to you. Okay? Let yourselves be transformed. In submission to the work of the Holy Spirit, He transforms us. We must yield to Him. He transforms us through the ministry of the Word. We see that ministry of the Word. It's a repetitive phrase, isn't it, for us? But we are being transformed, and it's being done to us as we put ourselves in the position to be transformed. We also see that this Greek word is an imperative, meaning it's a command to yield to the Holy Spirit's work within our hearts. God is seeking. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13, right? It is God who is working in you. So if God's working in you, both to bring about the desire and give you the ability to do that desire, that is the perfect will of God. The command here in Romans 12:2 is that we are to yield to that inner working of God in our lives. Yield to it. Put yourself in the position to have Christ-likeness developed in you. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways is to come to church. Be in God's house. Sit under the preaching of God's Word. What's another way? Something that we need to be doing every day. Get into the book. Get into the book. Study. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Thy profiting, thy developing of Christ's likeness will be evident to all. Understand that. And so, it's an imperative, it's a command. We must yield to it. We must get serious about this transformation process. It's a daily process of surrender. Surrender the advancement of my kingdom. I stop advancing my forces. I wave the white flag and I stop pushing them forward, demanding my own way. Because the way of transformation, the way of me changing, isn't according to my kingdom, is it? Do you want to be changed? Do you think you need to be changed in and of yourself? Don't give me the right answer that the Bible says. Don't give me the Bible answer. You, in your heart of hearts, with your deceitful heart that's desperately wicked, who can know it? In that state of mind, in your flesh, what do you say? Do I need to be changed? No, I'm doing pretty good. I don't need a change. So therefore, I'm going to continue to advance my kingdom my way. I don't want to be transformed because I don't need to be transformed. And even if I do admit that I have a few flaws, well, everybody else does, and I was just born that way. So it's okay. We justify it, don't we? It's a problem, isn't it? That's a problem. It's a process of surrender, saying, Lord, I am not where I should be. It doesn't matter in horizontal comparisons. Help me to not even look that way. Help me to look to You as my measuring stick. I'm not like You enough. Help me, Father. Help me to be like Your Son. Help me to grow in Your Word. Help me to study and meditate upon these things. Help me to give myself wholly to them. Help me to be diligent in them every single day. It's a daily process of surrender. It's a daily process of change. Isn't it? It's an inward change that manifests itself externally. It's a change of the heart that then is displayed outwardly. This change has taken place on the inside. It should overflow and be clearly seen externally. See, the illustration is the metamorphosis where that caterpillar, he gets entombed only into this cocoon and only to emerge later looking like a completely different thing. Can you mistake? does it seem that something weird happened when a caterpillar climbs into this cocoon? He entombs himself in this cocoon, and then all of a sudden, when he crawls out of the cocoon, he's no longer a caterpillar. It's like, what happened? You can't mistake one for the other, can you? God says, don't be conformed to this world, you Christian. You butterfly, don't be looking like a caterpillar. That's a really basic layman's John Lashway kind of translation of this verse. Don't look like a butterfly when God's transformed you, or don't look like a caterpillar when God's transformed you into a butterfly. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Be being transformed. You are a butterfly. Fly. Look like it. Live like it. You're to be growing in Christ's likeness. Look like Jesus. The unbeliever through faith in Christ is entombed in the cocoon of salvation, emerges as a new creature, a transformed creature who should no longer be mistaken for his former self. There should be a noticeable difference. Peter writes, this is in verse 14 and 15 of 1 Peter 1, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, don't look like who you were before. But as he which has called you is holy, he set apart from sin, be holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of lifestyle. So how can we then live a transformed life of worship when the world in which we live is dominated by sin? How do we do that? The verse continues, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing speaks of a renovation. It's a sense of reversal from the old mind. It means to make new again. This renewal process is a replacement process. First, we see in Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And the last phrase, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. How are we renewed? It's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Taking the Word of God, as we're going to see in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, ministers to your heart, and changes you into the image of the Son of God. That's the process. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are at work. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to transform us into Christ's likeness. The old mind needs to be replaced with a new mind. If you want to be like Jesus, if you want to act like Him, if you talk to or see a ventriloquist, not a ventriloquist, one of these guys who imitates, and they can imitate so many different voices and personalities. How do they do that? I mean, there's a gifting, first and foremost. But even with that gift, they have to put in a lot of effort into it, don't they? They have to spend a lot of time, whether or not being with that person or watching them and studying them, studying their little quirky interpersonal communication skills. There's those little phrases that they say, those idiosyncrasies, you know, those really weird things that other people have that none of us have in here. You know, you have to spend a lot of time analyzing and studying. You spend time with that person, whether just you in the video and you're watching them or you're with them in person. You spend time with them. Because what then happens? You begin to think the way they think. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? The renewing of the mind? We're transformed by the renewing of the mind? Our thoughts of lust must be replaced with a love for God and others. Our thoughts of envy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, selfishness, pride, etc. must be replaced with God-honoring thoughts, as well as thoughts of God Himself. Colossians 3:10, it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. There's a renewing of through knowledge. I learned something. Renewing in knowledge after the image of Him, Christ, that created him. I need to be renewed in knowledge. I need to change the way I think. speaks of a deepening of the image of God in the new man, which through the increased knowledge of God, knowing God more. If I want to bear the image of God well, what do I have to do? I have to spend time with Him. I have to get to know Him. We know this, and we struggle with it. But the process of renewing our mind takes time and effort, doesn't it? Is it easy? You got to work at it. Developing Christ-likeness in us doesn't happen overnight, does it? You don't go to bed looking like the devil one night and wake up looking like Jesus the next. It just doesn't happen. What's the process? Time. Effort. Obedience. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. I think it's there in your notes. Joshua is in the process when these words of God are spoken to him. He's in the process of taking over for Moses. A few verses earlier, God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." But he also says to Joshua, "Now it's your turn to lead these people into the land that I have promised for you." You know, these same people that have been grumbling and complaining under the leadership of Moses? Yes, them. The ones that for 40 years, I led them around, God says, in the wilderness, and they died until all those unbelievers died. Everybody 20 years and over died. Now you have the next generation who's been growing up for those last 40 years. Joshua, congratulations, they're yours to lead into the promised land. I can only imagine what Joshua's thinking. Lord, help me. How can I do this? Right? You can't do it on your own. And so God gives Joshua the way, doesn't he? What does he say? "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Ultimately, as you take it in and renew your mind with the truth of God's word, it's always going to be on your tongue. It's going to be in your conversation. Just like Deuteronomy 6, where God says, and how the Jews were to raise their kids was great application for us. You take the word of God and you talk about it when you go to sit down, when you walk by the way, when you go to bed at night, when you rise up again in the morning. What's going on? The word of God is central to your life, to your parenting. Parents, if you're not keeping the word of God central in your life, you are doing something wrong. The world doesn't like to hear that, but that's the truth. But brothers and sisters in Christ, whether or not you're a parent, if you're not keeping the word of God central in your life, you're doing something wrong. Do you understand me? I have a number here talk to me at times and say, "Pastor, I don't have the time for it, and I struggle with that." And I, brothers and sisters, I know it's hard. But there's a reason why God commands us, as He commands Joshua. This isn't just because it's Joshua that He's going to lead the people of Israel into the promised land, that this is good for him and not good for all of us. Is it? The reality is, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do obedience according to all that is written therein." How do you know what to do? How do you know how to obey unless you know what's in it? And how do you know what's in it unless you get into it day and night and meditate upon these things? You give thyself wholly to them. That's the process. Notice what it goes on to say. "For then, after you have made it," it's coming out of your mouth, it's on your tongue all the time, you're meditating there in day and night, you're doing what it says. This is an if-then. If you do all of this, is your responsibility, the precepts, the biblical principle of success is what we find right here, isn't it? The precepts are my responsibilities, what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to have these words of God on my mouth because they're in my mind. Because I'm meditating upon them day and night and I'm observing to do. I'm obeying. That's what you're called to. That's the precept, the promise that follows, that God says, I will, this is what will happen. I will bring this about. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Biblical success. This isn't health and wealth, is it? Spiritual blessing. You will be successful in the path that God has for you to go because you will be following His way. It's powerful. It's powerful. Takes time in God's Word to maintain a transformed life. There's great cost involved. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to take away time from something else in order to worship God with it? That's a challenging question, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Isn't that hard? I mean, think about it. Think about the life that you live. Most of us in here are pretty busy, aren't we? Most of us, it's hard to find extra time. It's hard to squeeze a rock and get water out of it. Many times that's how you feel as you go through your day, don't you? But could it be that if you've ever been to some sort of circus thing and you see the guy with the stick and the plate on top and he's spinning it and he spins the next one and he spins the next one and he spins the next one and before he's got to get back to this one and keep it going and he tries to put another one up and spins it and then he's just running back and forth like a crazy man, isn't he? How often are you that crazy man? But see, this is the thing. Some of those plates are plastic. If all the plates are plastic, no big deal if one falls. You pick it up, spin it again, get it going. That's the mentality. But the reality is that there's many of those plates, they're porcelain. Those plates that are porcelain represent your marriage, represent your parenting, your relationship with your kids. But how often are we letting the porcelain plates drop because we're trying to keep the plastic plates going? See, the reality is, we need to understand that, if you will, we're also, there's the porcelain plate of my walk with God that I'm letting that drop because I have too many plastic plates going that I have no business spinning at all. You know what the challenge is for us? Is with discernment, going through this life and figuring out, what plates am I spinning? And what plates should I be spinning? It's tough, isn't it? It's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That's the same word, metamorpho, in the Greek. We're changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, we're changed. As we gaze upon the glory of God, we're changed in the same image of the likeness of the Son of God. Being changed in the same image speaks of a transformation into Christ-likeness. I want to challenge us today. We are called upon to allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and allow the ministry of the Word upon our lives to equip us for the work of the ministry so we can be a part of edifying the body of Christ. And one of the ways, the first way that we're looking at today, is as we are a part of allowing the Holy Spirit, putting ourselves in the place where the Holy Spirit can be developing Christ-likeness in us so that we are seeking to measure up. Our measurement is to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal. That's our goal. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to figure out what plates should I let fall and not pick back up again, because those plates are making me too busy for the important plates, the important relationships, the important things that I should be doing. You think, Pastor, you don't know my life. You know what? It doesn't matter what I know. Does it? It matters what God says. Doesn't it? Can I challenge you? Prayerfully consider all the plates that you're spinning, all the things that you're committing your time to, all the things that you're doing in life, and all the choices you're making. And what part does God have in it? Are you choosing God? Or are you giving Him the leftovers? If you want to be developing Christ-likeness, having Christ-likeness developed in your life, we all have choices to make, don't we? Watch another TV show? Do another thing, hobby? Do this, do that, do the other thing? Or choose to meditate upon these things? Choose to meditate upon the Word of God day and night. Choose to give God preeminence in your life. It's our point of action this morning. Our worthy walk is explained by walking in maturity. Our spiritual maturity is marked by a developing Christ-likeness. This process takes place as our minds are renewed with the truth of God's Word. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and transforms us into the likeness of the Son of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the privilege of knowing You, our great God and Savior. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word, the challenges that we find here that speak to our heart, and at times they hit us right where it hurts. Many in here this morning are realizing that some of the plates that we're spinning are not the right ones. We're giving our time, we're choosing to give time to a number of these things that we shouldn't be. And as a result, we're not giving You Your time. And as a result, because we're not giving You Your time, at times we're seeing our marriage fall apart. Our relationship with our kids are falling apart. Those porcelain plates are crashing to the floor. They're much harder to repair. Lord, would You help us? Teach us Your ways. Guide us in Your truths. Change us more into the likeness of Your Son. We know that You are a God who forgives and You are a God who helps. May we come before You with a heart of repentance. May we also come before You in desperate dependency, relying upon You. Father, rule my heart. Change me, O God, I pray. May that be our prayer today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.